by grace alone, through faith alone, and by the blood of Jesus, that we're washed and made whole. I worked today and worked part of the day, and all day long I was thinking about coming over here.
Glad you come here, James.
Wherever the Lord is, there's liberty. And I enjoy liberty. I enjoy wherever Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
I'm going to try to sing this song. I haven't sung it in a long time, but I'll do the very best I can and excuse the grunts and the groans. Once I was clothed in the rags of my sins, was wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, took me under his wings. Oh yes, I'm a child of the King, and his royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, I'm a child of the King. Now I am a child with a heavenly home, for my holy Father has made me his own. Now I'm clothed in his love, and I'm washed in his blood, and someday I'll sing with the angels above. Oh yes, I'm a child of the King, and his royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, I'm a child of the King. Read a little something to you. Just a moment, and I ask that you pray that all of you who know the worth of prayer be engaged in prayer. This is in the 2 Chronicles, in the 7th chapter, and I like to begin with the 12th verse. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no more rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, here's what he'll do. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land.
Amen.
We're living in a country today that needs the healing touch of the Lord.
Amen.
Our land, our children, our people have turned their back on God. And I sometimes lay awake at night, and I wonder, God, what would it be like if we all came down in prayer with one mind and one accord? God, what would our country be like for our children and our grandchildren if we could all become followers of you? Lord, what would it be like for us to be able to go up and down the road from house to house, and everywhere that we went, we'd hear the praise of the Lord? Lord, what would it be like if I could take my children out and lay them back foremost in the water. What would it be like, Lord, if they were walking side by side with me on our way to a kingdom that's not in this world? Lord, what would it be like that if I could make a way that my grandchildren could come along and follow in this old path that I have found, and I have found that there's joy in this path? Lord, what would it be like if I could lead my family to the foot of the cross? Lord, what would it be like if my neighbors, if I could lead them to the foot of the cross? Amen. Our land needs healing so bad. And if we tonight can get our minds off the worldly things and get them upon heavenly things, we can accomplish more than what we would ever imagine with our weak minds. God, what would it take for you to turn our people around that they're not on that broad road anymore? God, what would it take from your people that we would do what we ought to do, that they would want to follow in that way? God, I look back over my life and I remember those who shine their light unto me.
Yeah.
Help us, God, that our lamps are trimmed and burning. Help us, Lord, that we let our light shine, that others may see our good works and glorify us. No, but glorify Jesus. Glorify God, who is over all things. What would it be like for us to live in a land where we could go somewhere and buy something and overpay, and they would follow us home and bring the extra money back to us? We don't live in a land like that today. But what would it be like if we lived in a land like that? We can live in a land like that if we all will get our hearts low and come down before God and offer everything that we have. I'm afraid that there are times that I don't do that. And I'm ashamed that there are times I know that I don't do that. I try, and I want to pray to Him every time that I get down. But sometimes I get down in weakness within myself, and I can't do the things that I know He wants me to do. What about the times that we want to walk with Him, but because of our own selfish reasons, we prevent ourselves from doing that? The joys that I have are in Him. The glad times that I have is when He's close to me. And I have the awfulest struggle with that, to get close to Him. I have the awfulest struggle to get myself down where I need to be, that I can come down and I can feel Him like you were feeling Him. I could feel what you were feeling because I felt that before. And I know what it's like to have that feeling. And I want God to just cover us tonight with that feeling again. Just keep on keeping on, that He would cover us every time that we turn, that we hear the voice of the Lord calling us on to higher things. Sometimes we limit ourselves by what we're not willing to do. And I want to leave an example for my children and my grandchildren and your children and your grandchildren. Because if we leave an example that we followed in the footsteps that Jesus left for us to walk in, that it would affect someone's life. And my purpose here is to affect someone's life. Your purpose here is to affect someone's life. And let's get down to the point that we can be effective in affecting someone's life. I want God to bring us down however it needs to be, that we can get down low, and that we can offer our lives as a sacrifice that would be holy and acceptable unto Him, which is our reasonable service. There are times when I look around the community I live in, and this is a time when we don't know many people in our community. I know the people across the street from me, and the ones that are beside of me, the ones behind me, I don't know. And I've been there for 7 years. The people just will not be willing. They won't throw their hand up. They won't come out and speak to you if you walk by their house. Today, we live in a world that's different from what we grew up in. Today's world is different from where I grew up in the head of a holler, that every family in that holler came to church on Sunday. And I remember when I was growing up, when I was little, I'd ride my bicycle. I had a little 16-inch bicycle. I'd ride up and down that creek. And I could stop at any house in the holler there. I could get a drink of water. I could get a drink of milk. I could get something to eat. And I'd feel safe in doing that. I never had a fear, never had a thought of fear. But today, in my neighborhood, one street over lives a pervert. One street over from us lives a molester. And God knows how I love little children. And I get so upset sometimes when I hear about these things, these men and the women that will do these things, these awful things to these children. And we have laws in our land that are made to help them do whatever they want to do and let them live in whatever neighborhood they want to live in. And we are not doing the things we ought to do as Christian men and women to get those folks put where they need to be. And we need to change that. We don't have any hope in this world if we don't make the place safe for our children and our grandchildren to live in. And if someone is running for something in our neighborhood, and they're running with the right things in mind, we ought to be for them. We ought to put good men and women in these offices that they will protect our children and our grandchildren. I love little children. You don't know how my grandchildren can take me from a day of being tired and weary and lonely, and they can change that day into a day of joy.
Real quick.
When they come up and say, "Poppy," and look me in the eye and smile and say, "Poppy, I love you. Poppy, why don't we go for a walk? Why don't we walk the dogs, Poppy?" Anything they want to do, I've told them from the time they were little, anything that you want to do, I'm willing to do, as long as it's something that won't hurt you. And I want all of us to get our neighborhoods to be like that, where my child, my grandchild, come and walk down your street and be safe. We don't have that today. And it's because we have let things come into the neighborhoods that are wrong. Wrong today, sin is sin, and wrong is wrong. Where there are places just not far from here, spelled with a W, and we've sent people there, and they vote for things that are not right. A man and a woman should be the way marriage is. But in today's world, it's being accepted that it's a man with a man and a woman with a woman. And if you read what it says in this book, which is called the Holy Bible, it says that is an abomination unto God. Amen. If it's my child, if it's my grandchild that says that they are of that type, they're wrong. They're going down to a devil's hell if they don't. Those people can repent. If they don't repent and change the way, they're going down to a devil's hell. And believe me, I've got relatives that are in that kind of condition in my family. It's not just your family or someone's family over here. It's not someone 1,000 miles away. It's in my family too. And then when I heard that my sister and her husband had said the Bible was just another book, and that their daughter was an atheist, and that their son, I don't know what he is, it made me sick. I was physically sick. My oldest sister called me and told me about it, and I cried. It made me physically sick because their grandpas and their grandmas and their moms and their dads had been God-fearing people, and they'd taught them to fear God. And they had gone to school and got so educated that they knew more than God knows. I've got a bunch of in my family. They've got baccalaureate degrees, they've got master's degrees, they've got doctor's degrees in law and several other things. But they are a bunch of dummies when it comes to God. And they are going on so fast. I remember being on that broad road. It's so fast down to a devil's hell. And it makes me physically sick. I'm worried about our people today. We ought to have a house full tonight. Wherever there is a pronunciation that God is God and His Son and the Holy Ghost are one, there ought to be such a crowd that you'd have to open the windows and open the doors for them to hear. Here we are tonight. I'm still looking.
Amen.
There's a place called the Eastern Sky that I'm looking for.
Amen.
I've heard that it's going to roll back like a scroll someday.
Yes, sir.
And there's someone going to be on a cloud that's going to appear that I've never seen with my eyes before.
You're going to.
But I am waiting for that time to come. And I believe that I will rise like I've never risen before. That I will fly and I've never flown before. That I'll meet someone who's waiting for me, who's going to call my name. He gave me a white stone, and in that stone a new name. And I'm going to hear the call of that name. What is that name going to be? I don't know. But when he calls me, I'll know that name. And there is a God in heaven who is in control of all things. We sometimes look around in our neighborhoods and we wonder, how are things so out of control? But God is always, he's always got things under control. If we come to him in the right way, he'll change our attitude about everything. I remember when I was coming along like you said that you were, how it was with me, such a struggle. I had built up such a wall around myself, such a wrapping of pride that no one could penetrate that. Sometimes when I'd go to church, I'd go to funerals sometimes. My dad was a preacher for 48 years. And when I'd sit back there and he'd be preaching the funeral, and he'd come back there and he'd hug me, because I hadn't been to church probably in 2 or 3 years at that time. And he'd come back and he'd hug me, and it would embarrass me. But there was a time when I ran and I got and jumped in his arms, because I had met the same Jesus that he knew. And when I had the same Jesus that he knew, then we had something in common that we never had before. And he reached out to me and brought me into his chest, and he squeezed me and he held me and he said that he loved me. And it was a different kind of love. I felt this kind of love. It just flowed from him to me. And he's gone now. But he's not gone forever. Because my God is going to bring back the souls of those that have gone on. And they're going to be reunited with that body. He went down. He had broken fingers, and they were twisted and narrowed because of arthritis. And he had an artificial nose that the doctors put on him because cancer ate his real nose up. He won't have that same nose. He won't have those gnarled fingers anymore. That when he points to someone and it's supposed to be going that way and his finger's going over that way, he won't be like that. He'll be running and skipping, and he will never grow tired of running and skipping. He'll never grow weary from praising the Lord. He'll never grow tired of singing the songs that we're going to be singing there. And he'll never grow tired of sitting down by the side of that water and watching that clear stream come from the throne of God. And we're going to be there together. Not because my dad was a preacher for 48 years. Not because my dad prayed for me. But it was because I came under the cross. I came under the blood that Jesus shed. And it washed me and made me whole. There was a time that I went to every kind of church that there was, trying to find some way to find the washing of that blood. And I went to different denominations and went all over the place trying to find how I could get under the drippings of that blood and still keep it my way. And I came right back home. I came to the little old church that my grandpa built with $300. I said, Dad, I want to join the church. You know how I've come along this way, that it's been a hard row to hoe, that I was so wrapped in pride. But it seemed like that he took his time and just trimmed it off. Trimmed the pride off and just took it away. And there I stood one day before him naked and had nothing to hide my sin. And he just washed me with that blood. You talk about a washing. I never had a washing like that before. And I had never raised my hands toward heaven and thanked him. But I raised my hands that day and thanked him. Jesus, you washed me. You made me whole. You took something that was broken and wasn't worth anything, and you've made something out of it, God. You've made me an heir of your Father, and I'm an heir with you, joint heir with you in all the things that Jesus, that God has made for us. I don't have a mansion here. I live with my daughter. I don't own a house. I don't own anything. I used to build buildings and gather things in. And I piled up goods. And I had money in the bank. And I had cars all over the place. And I had people fooled. They thought I was something. But then God's Son stripped all that away. And I was just as naked as I could be with nothing. Nothing. I didn't have a cloak. I didn't have any armor on for sure. But he gave me a cloak with his blood. He gave me a suit of armor that the devil fights me, it seems like, from daylight to dark. But with that shield of faith, I can ward off any dart that he throws my way. With that helmet of salvation, praise be to God that he also prepared shoes for my feet, that I can walk and not grow weary, that I can run and leap like the hinds of the field, because God's Son has made a place for me in his kingdom. Glory be to his name. Praise him. Honor to him. I want to lift up my hands to him, because these hands were all in mischief at one time. But Jesus cleaned me up and gave me holy hands.
Amen.
That I can lift up to him in praise and honor.
That's right.
So if you don't know him, he's got a place for you. He's got a job for you to do. He's got someone's life for you to affect. And guess what? Above everything, he loves you. He loves you enough that his Son came and died just for you. I can imagine. Sometimes I do think about how it hurt when they put the thorns down upon his head. And how it must have hurt when they drove the nails in his hands. And then when the spear was plunged into his side. But he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And he was talking about me. He was talking about you. But he made it possible that we could go to that mansion someday. And I wonder what it's going to look like up there sometimes. I wonder about that. But there is never any need to argue about what it's going to look like, because the ones that are causing the argument are probably not the ones that are going. Praise the name of Jesus.